BlogTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Fran, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Thanks, LeMans, for following. Really appreciate it. And if you're listening on Twitch and you want to follow or you want to subscribe, well, you just click the purple button up at the top of the screen and it will set you up. And did you know that if you link your Twitch account and your Amazon account, you can do something called Twitch Prime where you get a free sub every month thanks to Amazon. That's pretty cool, right? So click the button up at the top. Check it out. It's a pretty cool thing. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, also, make sure you hit the bell so you get notifications. If you have the Twitch app, I mean, when we go live, you can get a little notifications. Hey, WTR Live is live, so come check it out. You just click the bell and things. You don't need a sub. Just click the bell just so you know when the Rack's live or Steve Radio's live or Russell Talk Radio is every month is live.
Wow, dude. Wow. Bitter much?
What? What?
Yeah, if you don't subscribe and you just follow the channel, we love you just the same. Trust me, we are so grateful for everybody who follows, who subscribes, who listens, so thank you very much. You don't have to subscribe, you can follow, that's fine, but, you know, we would love it if you subscribe. That would be pretty awesome, too.
That'd be cool, but just follow, make sure you follow along, come listen to stream, interact in the chat room at Wild Talk Radio. At Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter, WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive is where you can chat with all the fine folks here tonight.
Yeah, so, all right, we have a lot of news we get into tonight. We're also talking NXT, and, well, we're doing a preview for SmackDown on Fox, which is pretty awesome. That airs tomorrow. It debuts the big premiere. And, yes, we're talking all three matches on Hell in a Cell. So guess what, guys? One of the matches announced is Bray Wyatt's, which means I get to talk Bray Wyatt to my heart's content tonight. So everybody's going to hate that, but welcome to my life. Welcome to Rock's life.
I'm just letting her go tonight. She has freedom to say whatever she wants.
No, I don't. There are limits to what I can say. But, ooh, Clay Matthews, hi. Anyway, so, yeah.
She has the freedom to say whatever she wants.
Because he can cut it out later. He is that good at editing, guys. All right, so we're going to jump right into news. Retro Prince over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And, well, there's a lot of AEW news, so we're going to talk about that first. Because did you know that AEW debuted last night on TNT?
What? No, did it?
No, really? Did it?
Really?
Did it?
Wow, amazing.
Time flies, y'all. So if you didn't check it out, that's okay. I think it's available on demand. You have to check your local cable provider to be sure. But it was a good show. We're not going to talk about it tonight. But it was a good show. I would highly recommend checking it out to give everybody a chance. Because that's what we need to do here, y'all. We don't need to be elitist snobs. We need to give everybody a chance.
But no, if I watch that, I am an elitist snob because it's being the elite. That's the
anyway. And if you're in the UK, you can watch AEW on ITV Hub on Thursdays at 7 p.m. And if you're in Canada, you can watch it on TSN at Wednesdays at 8. Moving on, she says, moving on, because we're just not going to touch
You can enjoy that. The Super Kick Party anytime you want.
There you go. Also, AEW has signed Alex Abrahantes, who was the Spanish lead announcer for Ring of Honor. So congratulations to him. They're steadily filling out positions. They also had Lee South doing their photography last night, which is very, very cool. You do not know who Lee South is. Lee South was TNA's original photographer way back in the day, and he takes some absolutely amazing photography. So good on them for getting Lee and having him come in and do the pictures, because, yeah, he's super duper talented. And, well, starting Wednesday, today.
Yesterday.
October 2nd. I don't know what day it is. I had to travel for work this week, guys. I have no idea what day it is. Beyond, we're doing a show and it's Thursday, but generally I have no idea what day it is. Anyway, Hot Topic stores across the U.S. and Canada will offer customized t-shirts featuring the Young Bucks, Cody, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, Hangman, Adam Page, and Jungle Boy, along with Luchasaurus. And, well, consumers can also purchase this first wave of t-shirts from HotTopic.com. So you don't have to go in the store. You can order them online as well, which is pretty dang cool.
Interesting name missing is John Moxley. He has his own t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees, but he's not in the Hot Topic deal. I was a little bit surprised by that one. A little bit.
I'm a little bit surprised, but I'm a little bit not, because I think he wants to keep the proceeds for himself, if that makes sense, as opposed to splitting them out. Because I think the way that that works is he doesn't get 100% of it, or whatever Hot Topics take after.
Who knows? But he may get them eventually, but it was an interesting omission, as it were.
And he may not have been around when they set it up. We don't know how old this deal is. We don't.
We don't.
We don't.
We don't. We don't know how old the deal is. Speaking of deals, one other quick AEW note. Jack Swagger is officially signed with, or Jake Hager has signed with AEW back at All right before All Out.
Yeah, so the Swagster was on Dynamite last night. Spoiler alert. Not going to tell you where he was, but he showed up. So, moving away from AEW. It was announced that WWE Crown Jewel is set for October 31st on the WWE Network, so everybody can check that out. They are starting to build to that. And so far, we have Team Hogan and Team Flair, which I'm a little afraid of. And I don't know if the person is within the sound of my voice, but whoever Photoshopped Taker into the picture of Hogan and Miz and Jimmy Hart in the ring from Raw, dude, I hope you do that professionally, because that was a damn good Photoshop.
So it's Team Hogan versus Team Flair at Crown Jewel, right? That's one match already announced for Crown Jewel. We have three matches for pay-per-view on Sunday. So, yeah, cool. Yep, that's a thing. That's a thing.
That's a thing. Let's see, let's just say it, because it's a teaser for SmackDown later in the show, but WWE is pulling out the biggest gun they have for the debut on Fox. I don't think they could go any bigger. And that is that The Rock is coming back to WWE for tomorrow night for SmackDown to help launch it on Fox. That's epic. That is absolutely epic. Seeing as how full his schedule is, how hard he is to get, the fact that they were able to acquire him for the Fox deal just shows how important this is.
Very much so. He It was speculated that he may not be involved, and then speculated he could be involved. The fact they were able to schedule it and make it work is a big deal, because he has promotions for movies coming out, so it's like his schedule is overloaded. To get him in Los Angeles to probably promote the film on Fox is a big deal to him, so they'll probably throw out a plug or a commercial or whatever, and for him to appear to launch the show that he helped name, pretty damn cool. He'll probably be live at the start of the show, I would assume, at 8 p.m. on Fox.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if some other familiar faces show up.
What?
Throughout the show.
What?
I mean, you know, we'll have to see if anybody hits that gong or not. Well, we don't know.
I'm not sure about the gong, but we're going to get some Steve Weisers.
I want the gong. Give me the gong.
You may not get the gong on Friday.
Get that man off his couch and get him on SmackDown, damn it. It's not that hard. He can just walk out, tip his hat, and leave. That's it. That's all we need him to do. 5 minutes of his time. That's all I want.
Ted DiBiase's been around. He was on one of the Raw shows a few weeks ago. The Homecoming Raw back in August. He was on there. He actually bought the 24/7 title at one point and then lost it.
Yeah, he did. He bought it off of Alundra.
Mm-hmm. And then lost the belt in the back of the limo.
Yeah.
So he's been around.
But he's living a quiet life. I think he's a preacher now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and he's got his ministry and he's really happy with that. So good for him. And last but certainly not least, we watched this before the show. Rock got to hear the live reactions. There was a lot of wait. Let's back that up for a second. Because we are going to play for you on the technology screens.
Right now. It's on your screen right now.
It's right now. The WWE 2K20 gameplay trailer.
So as you can see, it's pretty cool. You've seen the girls and everything, and then which what they're showing is a lot of probably the showcase mode with the girls, because it's featuring the four horsewomen. So you're seeing a lot of the bits from that. The girls look pretty cool. You got to see a little Eric Rowan action. You get to see the Fiend,
which the Fiend looks sick in the game, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And then you see old school Rock in this one, and then the video stopped. There we go. And then you see some weird little arena, a fire arena. You see Fire Demon, Kane, and The Undertaker, Zombies, Sasha, the Wyatt compound. It looks...
I pop for the Wyatt compound, I'm not going to lie. I pop for a lot of these things in this trailer.
Jerry Lawler looked really good in the trailer, too.
He did. They did a really lovely job on Jerry Lawler, particularly. Taker looks good, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think they actually may have gotten a new scan of Taker. I don't know, though.
I don't think so, but they've reworked it a little bit. But yeah, so it looks really... The game looks... solid. It's not big improvements from last year in terms of quality in terms for game content. But that being said, the new arenas look really good in that from the originals. You saw the fire arena, the snow arena. They all look really cool to me. And that's going to be one of the big selling points of the game, which we're going to have a lot of content right here at twitch.tv/WTLive, so be ready for that.
Yeah.
So we have plans.
Yes, there are plans. Both of us have plans. Fortnite may go on hold. We'll just say that. Maybe come 2K20 with friends. Anyway, I'm really actually very excited for the alternate mode, the bump in the night, I think it's called.
For Bray, yeah.
For Bray, for just because I always love, and this is the thing, is like I've been kind of infatuated with the whole concept of Suplex City for a couple of years now, which was the promotional stuff that they did for, was it 18?
16 or 17?
Yeah, whichever one had Seth Rollins on it. And I've always been infatuated with that idea of them taking the characters outside of the wrestling context and putting them into a different
world.
Genre, mode, story, whatever you want to call it, where it's not wrestling based, mm-hmm. and see what they can do with it. And so I really love the concept of the bump in the night and to see what they actually do with it, because it's wrestling based, like you wrestle in it, but it's taking the characters and reworking the characters and changing the story and doing different things with them. So I'm very, very curious to see what it is and what the story is, because there's multiple story modes that you can do. So I'm really interested about that. But yeah, the fire arena looks badass. I'm not gonna lie, it looks really badass.
And one of the things you noticed is the Fiend is fully done. So it's the whole entrance, the whole gimmick's been planned for a while, including they had the
Lantern.
Yeah,
the lantern, not a lantern. The lantern, the one with his face.
Yeah.
That one. That one. In the game. So he's probably had it since at least WrestleMania, for sure. I would say he's had the mask since before that, but I would wonder if he didn't get the lantern around WrestleMania.
A couple things we can confirm. Tony Storm's in the game. Cherry Lolo looks playable. Xbox looked pretty decent in the game. Hogan's back. Tommaso Ciampa is back in the game. So is Nikki Cross. So it's good stuff to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all really exciting. Like, I like it. I'm looking forward to it. Plus, the hair looks really good this year. Like, they continue to improve the hair, which I'm happy for, because there for a while, the girls look like really jacked up. So good hair is good. We want the girls to have good hair.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it moves in match, but when they're doing their entrance, it looks good. And that's where it's important.
Looks pretty solid. So yeah, some of the entrances have been redone. So all in all, looking forward to it. Comes out on the 22nd, I believe. So pre-order now so you can get all the Bray Wyatt stuff. If you order the deluxe version, you can get, you'll be able to get all the originals when they come out.
Yes. So NXT?
NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
By the way, in case you're wondering when we are watching the football game, it is the golf balls versus the tennis balls, aka the Los Angeles Rams versus the Seattle Seahawks, and I believe the score is 20-14 in favor of the Rams. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
Went to commercial, so I can't tell you who's winning, but I know it's 20-14. We're in the second quarter. We're getting ready to head into halftime.
We just came back from half.
Okay, so we're in the third quarter. There we go. So that is your football update. Now let's talk about NXT.
Not a takeover. But a really good episode.
But they pulled out some big guns for last night, because it was the debut of AEW last night on TNT. So NXT was definitely bringing their A game to the show. And well,
let's kicked off with Matt Riddle and Adam Cole for the NXT Championship. They had a hell of a match. Really,
so good.
Really good match. Adam Cole was able to survive Matt Riddle, even being injured coming into this matchup. He hit the last shot and was able to retain his title. They went about 15 minutes. He went all action the entire time. Really, really good stuff. So Adam Cole retained. And it's like, okay, he retained. And by the way, what made it good is there was no commercials. It was straight through. Intros, everything. It was limited commercials throughout the entire show. And when they did cut commercials, most of them were split screen. So that helped.
Yeah.
So as Adam Cole is celebrating in the ring, a familiar tune hit. The one for Finn Balor.
The favorite son has come home. Hunter got Finn back, and he got him back to NXT, where he belongs. And that's not to say that he failed on the main roster. That's not the case. I just feel like they never knew what to do with him on the main roster. They know what to do with him in NXT. They know how to make him look like $1 million in NXT. And I promise you, he is going to be a star down there. Like he was before he left.
He says, so now Finn Balor is NXT.
I'm okay with this. I'm fine with this. I'm perfectly happy with Finn being down there. I think it's going to be good for everybody. And Ash, I know there are no Blaine Brentwood this week. He actually minded his P's and Q's and did not hurt anybody this week. So that's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, they definitely packed the first 20 minutes.
20 minutes or so. So yeah, Finn Balor's back. I think Adam Cole and Finn Balor. Pretty good.
I can think of worse things in life than watching Adam Cole and Finn Balor fight. I really can. I'm kind of down for that, actually.
Mm-hmm. The Velveteen Dream gave us an experience. He had a brand new couch and a bunch of women with him. Talked about Roderick Strong and the Undisputed Era. He never complained about taking on more than one man at a time.
I see what you did there, Dream.
He challenged Roderick Strong to rematch for the NXT North America Championship and said Strong should consider an opportunity to perform all of his own on his own unless he's afraid to step out of the Undisputed Era shadow. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. I liked how they did this. I really, really liked it, especially with Dream surrounded by all the people. I kind of wish they would have thrown like a guy or two in there just to throw everybody off. But yeah, it was definitely well done.
Io Shirai and Mia Yim had a really good matchup.
Okay, my one complaint about this, and I've had this issue for a while, is Mia Yim's entrance. I wish they would work on her entrance and they would give her something better, or at the very least, don't show her walking out. And the reason why I say that is because, like, she walks out and she's just in front of this swirly background, and it's like, it just looks so blasé compared to everybody else. And Mia Yim is anything but blasé. So it's like, and then it goes into this really cool, like, her name's all in, like, graffiti and stuff, and she's, you know, you got the music and she's moving and she's doing all her stuff. And it's like, why can't you show just that part of it? Because, like, that part of it's cool. But the whole her walking out thing, that's just like, eh? Eh? It's like Io Shirai, she has, like, strobe lights and she goes insane and stuff like that. Like, you know, medium, she just walks out. So, you know, it's like, can we fix that, please? Maybe? But, yeah, also, these two had a fantastic match.
With Io Shirai picking up the victory.
Io's on a roll! Could she be a challenger soon? For someone?
Possibly.
I have to see.
We'll see. We saw some celebrities in the crowd, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall.
Hey!
No, if you're gonna do it, it's a yo.
No, it's just oh. A.
Oh, one thing I need to mention back in the, for the Riddle Cole match, the match ended basically within five seconds as the Cody Sammy Guevara match on AEW. They ended like at the exact same time.
Very interesting.
Tegan Nox is on her way back to NXT proper.
Brent's so excited.
Johnny Gargano took on Shane Thorne. Pretty good match.
I kind of had an issue with this. Like, I get Mauro was being punny, but it's like, they're like, oh, he's the Thorn and Johnny Gargano's side. And I'm like, is he? Is he really? Aside from the fact that his name is Thorn, like, I get it. But, you know, it's like, really? Is he that much of a pain in the butt to Johnny Gargano? Or is he just talking crap? Like, I feel like he's just talking crap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just me. That was my only, like, real problem with that. But the match was super good.
Really good, Johnny Gargano. Of course, I got the victory. Then it was time for the NXT Women's Championship. Shayna Baszler, Candice LeRae. Really, really strong, really good match.
This is fantastic. I need this about three more times. Please. Like, this was so good.
Candice played her part really, really well in this one. She sold pretty well. She made some great comebacks. This was really, really good.
Yeah, they both look like a million bucks in this. I can't complain about it at all.
In the end, Shayna was able to force Candice to tap to retain her women's championship.
So another one bites the dust. Shayna Baszler moves on. Is there anybody that can take her down? We'll have to see.
I think Rhea Ripley is eyeing her up.
I think Rhea Ripley should eye her up, and I think they should fight again.
Mm-hmm.
Except this time, really let him go.
Speaking of Rhea Ripley, the male version of Rhea Ripley, Pete Dunne, was in action against Danny Burch.
This wasn't a match. This was a fight. This was just a straight up fight. These two beat the crap out of each other. Danny Burch got cut on his cheek. Like, they were just going. And I mean, they legit, they were just throwing everything, including each other, around. And it ended up where Mr. Dunn picked up his victory. But, well, it was a short-lived celebration because somebody showed up and took Dunn down from behind.
When Damian Priest.
So, okay, all right, I'll take this. I'm fine with this. Do it. Do it. Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, yes.
Let it be a thing. Make it a
Let
thing.
Let it be a thing.
Make it a thing. I mean, we're cool with that.
I need the sass off. I'm just going to say that right now. I need the sass off between the two. The match will be fine. The match will be great. But I need them sassing each other. I just need that in my life so bad right now. Because it'll be brilliant. I know it.
It will be. It really will be.
I can't wait.
And then it was in your main event. It was the Street Profits challenging the Undisputed Era's Fish and O'Reilly. The Street Profits had Wale bringing them down to the ring, which is a nice little addition.
That was a cool entrance for them. It was a nice touch. They were feeling it. The crowd was feeling it. Everybody was pumped. Undisputed Era was pumped. Like, this was a great main event. It had wonderful energy to it. And this was a fantastic match.
It was really, really good. Fish and O'Reilly were able to get the win and retain their titles. Afterwards, yeah, we also had Roddy come in and cause a distraction, help retain the titles. So they're three in the ring with their championship holding them up. Adam Cole comes out, holds up his championship from the stage. They're celebrating. And then more music played. This time it was not Finn. It was Tommaso.
Goldie's rightful husband has returned to reclaim her. And I'm just going to say this now. Hunter, do you want people to get pregnant? Because Tommaso Ciampa, Adam Cole, and Finn Balor all facing each other in the same match is going to get people pregnant. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So get the child support ready, because we're all going to need it. Like, my ovaries cannot take that. They can't. Also, the tennis balls score a touchdown. We're now at 20-20 with the extra point probably assured.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling them the golf balls versus the tennis balls because Seattle's in, like, neon green, neon yellow uniforms, and the Rams are pretty much in all white. So tennis balls versus golf balls.
So that works. So overall, NXT was a really good, solid show.
I enjoyed the show. I had been traveling all day, so I was really, really tired when I watched it. Just like I was really super tired when I watched AEW last night, too. But this, I thought, felt both shows were good. I liked NXT. I enjoyed NXT. I'm liking where they're going. It was nice not to have to switch halfway through the show. Can I just say that? Like, it's nice that it was just on TV and you don't have to worry about it. So that was cool.
Yeah.
So.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. So I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be previewing Hell in the Cell, SmackDown. We're also going to have Tweet of the Week. So you'll see in the rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports. Video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Greater Than Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with The Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in... I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list. Write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana of the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on the Wildcat Network.
Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio, the Wildcat Radio Network.
Wild Talk.
Mother.
I don't know. I think we should keep it. I think it's funny.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to Rack Radio on Wild Talk Radio.
Perfect.
Wait, I'll do Rack Radio show. Sorry. All right, one more time.
One more time.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio show on Wild Talk Radio. Take four. I'm a take four master.
No, I don't feel so bad.
There you go.
Yeah.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have Twitch Prime available, well, click the purple button up at the top and you could subscribe. But you know what? Also, follow and set up that whole alert button. Ring that bell to tell you when we and every other fine program on this network go live. And just for your NFL update, the golf balls, if you're just joining the show, it's the Rams versus the Seahawks. The Rams are in white. The Seahawks are in neon green. I'm calling it the golf balls versus the tennis balls. The golf balls have just scored, and it is now 26-21 in favor of the Rams. It seems Seattle has no defense whatsoever. So there you go, but neither does LA, so it's fine. It's totally fine. Oh, wait. Are they going for it? They're going for it. Oh, did they get it? I think they got it.
They got it. 2-point conversion. Good. And we saw on Sunday, Rams have no defense, giving up 50-something points to the Buccaneers.
Right? So it's 28-21 in favor of the Rams. All right. So with that, tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Dr. Lupo.
It's Lupo, man.
Why wouldn't you just run it? Smiley face. Logitech Esports. Is this a video game thing? Dr. Lupo. Sorry, Dad. Not this time. Logitech. We'll pass. Dr. Lupo. No! The whole point was to run. Come on! Logitech. We honestly don't know how to tackle this conversation. Dr. Lupo. I am heated. Lose my number. And Logitech sends a SAG baby making a grabby hand gif. Aww. Dr. Lupo, follow 5 people that follow Courage JD. Like this tweet when done.
Oh.
Courage JD.
Hold on.
I'll follow 5 people that follow Dr. Lupo.
Hold on. They reversed the call. The 2-point conversion does not count.
Oh. So it's 26-21 in favor of the golf balls. Ninja.
Ninja. Ninja.
Ninja! I have been watching old and new Fortnite videos of me and the crew, and I can honestly confirm that Tim the Tatman is the most toxic out of all of us. He danced on more knocked players in Fortnite than all of us combined. That is all. Tim the Tatman, what the fuck did you say to me, you little shit?
What the fuck did you say? Yeah.
And Courage JD chimes in. Oh no.
Oh no.
NHL. Forget Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Hashtag NHL Global Series Challenge. And it's gritty. In Lederhosen, no less, behind the counter of a chocolate shop. To which Gritty replies, remember Augustus Gloop? This is him now. Feel old yet? I mean, I don't know what's better. The fact that they took Gritty International or he's running around in Lederhosen. I think it's just amazing.
It's both are amazing.
I mean, oh god, I think there's more. And best of all, there's video of this. They have him video of him running around Switzerland. Okay, just read your tweets because I have to look at all this.
Kathy Kelly, I just ate a whole tray of brownies for breakfast and I feel great because it's my mother effing birthday. Kyle O'Reilly, happy birthday. Why do you hate the undisputed error on today of all days? Because Kyle, you said you guys were going to get me a golden microphone and instead I got a bag of Tide Pods with a bow on it. Yes, because we care that you have clean clothes for your birthday. They're considerate.
I'd rather have the golden microphone, I'm not going to lie.
Carmella just shows a picture of her driving around with the championship. Corey Graves, can we please go to Foot Locker because I need new sneakers? Definitely not because they're full of referees. You know, a thing. Becky Lynch, at Real McFoley, quick question. Does the face skin gray better going left to right or right to left? Because, you know, she's trying to figure out techniques.
I mean, deep thoughts.
Bully Ray replied, right to left works. Renee Young, one more match. Hogan Flair, WrestleMania 36. Charlotte, please don't encourage him. Ross Berman goes, WWE Raw is the first program booked entirely by Paul Heyman's Pornhub history. Kayla Braxton, it's clear Bray Wyatt is not a fan of PDA. And with that, I'll say goodnight. Fox tweets out, which is your favorite WWE finisher of all time? Let us know in the replies below. Randy Orton, mine. Also, Daniel Bryan's small package.
Oh dear.
You know, the move, the small package, not his act. So, that's Tweet of the Week.
By the way, in case you missed it, they sent Bray Wyatt out today, and this ties into what we're getting ready to talk about, to do press for Hell in a Cell. That's right. They let Bray Wyatt do pet prep as Funhouse Bray Wyatt for Hell in a Cell. There is video in existence of Bray Wyatt doing the weather. I would strongly recommend after we finish the show that you go find that video.
It's on his Twitter.
It's on his Twitter. Just go after this show. Don't go now because we're getting ready to talk about Hell in a Cell. But you just the interviews. I am both happy and horrified that like they're letting him do whatever he wants because I'm just a little worried that he still needs adult supervision. I'm just a tad worried about that. But beyond that, everything else is fine. So, let's talk about Hell in a Cell. All three matches that are announced.
I really thought we would have got a couple on Monday. I really thought it. But here we are.
Are they waiting till tomorrow to set up this entire pay-per-view?
We're waiting till tomorrow to finalize this, to announce the card. Probably throughout the day leading up to SmackDown.
Okay.
So, make sure to visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. At some point, I'll post the Pick'em sheet or Rack Radio Show on Facebook or Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. They'll be there. Eventually, when the full card's announced. But we have three glorious matches to talk about on Hell in a Cell. So let's break them all down slowly.
All right. So in the match of my enemy is my friend. I don't know. You have Daniel Bryan taking and Roman Reigns taking on Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. Okay.
This one's been built up a little weird. The whole running down storyline has been good and bad at points, but it's allowed Eric Rowan to shine. That's the positive. Luke Harper's gone back on TV, which is another positive. And the two of them murdering people on television again together has been fantastic.
It's been a joyous reunion. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not, but Yeah, it's just, this is just so random. Like, this is just the most random grouping of people I've seen in a while, because it's like Daniel Bryan's supposed to be a bad guy, right? And Roman Reigns is your quintessential good guy. And then on the flip side, you have Eric Rowan, who has finally found his brain and is leading with Luke Harper, and they're the bad guys. So it's like, I'm almost expecting something to happen in this, whether it's Daniel Bryan turns on Roman, if it's Luke turns on Eric, if nothing happens, I don't know, but this just, there's something about this that you just get this feeling that it's like, this is just not going to be a regular match. Like, there's no way this can be a regular match where it just has a winner and a loser. I mean, it could, but it's just, this is the continuation of the story that they're telling for Eric Rowan and Luke Harper and Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. So it's like, it's not going to end here. This isn't it. No. So something's going to happen in this that's going to continue the story. The question is what? And are we going to see the formation of the Bryan family?
Tomorrow on SmackDown on Fox, presented by Progressive, it's going to be Rowan and Roman having a match, which probably will end with interference, as I don't expect a clean finish. And that's a rematch from Clash of Champions, which Eric Rowan won, which was surprising. Because even though we predicted it correct, we picked Eric Rowan over Roman Reigns. It's still surprising that it actually happened.
Somebody sees something in Eric Rowan. Somebody is very interested in pushing him. I'm not going to argue this at all. I feel like he's vastly improved since he first debuted, obviously, which was a long time ago. But, you know, over the years, he's grown and he's gotten better. And, you know, is he ever going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen? Probably not. But I think what they've got him doing right now is really good for him. It's in a very comfortable place for him. You can tell. They've been working with him, I think, on his speaking. And I just, overall, I just really like how they're presenting him. I wish they would kind of do the same treatment with Luke Harper a little bit and not just have him be a silent flunky. But I don't know how long Luke Harper is going to last, because as of next year, I think he's gone. So I don't know if they're just using him right now because they can, or if there's a grander plan here, or what that whole situation is. But I like how they've given Eric Rowan more of a role than just being the perpetual flunky to Bray Wyatt or to Daniel Bryan or to X person, that he can now stand on his own two feet.
So now it boils down to, last month Roman lost to Rowan. Do you continue that path and have Luke and Eric get the win here to push it along? Because if the good guys win, it's sort of like, okay, we've evened it all out and you go from there. But if the bad guys win, it could push the story a little further.
See, that's why I say, it's like, I feel like something is going to happen in this. I'm surprised I didn't call a face mask on that. Just because it's too soon to end it. I don't know. And and what's getting me with this, what's tripping me up with this, is Roman and Daniel, right? Because Daniel's been this sort of greasy, elitist
heel,
where he's all about he's an environmentalist, but he's one of the environmentalists that you just can't stand and you really want to punch in the face because he's so just absolutely nihilistic, I guess, about environmentalism and how he's right and you're, well, nihilistic's the wrong word, but, you know, that he's just so, I can't even think of the word, but he's annoying. There we go. He's just annoying about it. And it's like, you want to punch him in the face because he thinks he's so much better than you because he does this and he does that and you don't. And it's like, he's been doing that and he had Rowan by his side and then you had Rowan sort of quasi attack him. But Brian's done nothing else to establish himself really as a good guy. He just randomly showed up one night to help Roman against Rowan.
Well, Roman helped him, and it's sort of like, in a way, it's like they're together, but they're not together.
Entitled. Yes. Thank you, Anubis. Entitled. There we go. Thank you, Ash.
It's just, I don't know. It's weird. I can't see them getting along completely, which just makes you wonder how the finish is going to go.
That's what I was saying. It's like, it almost feels like Daniel Bryan's going to, like, turn and cost Roman the match.
It's like, this has all been a trap.
This has all been a setup. Like,
it could be.
Like, Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan are working together, and they got Luke Harper to come in and help because of Rowan and Harper, and, like, they're going to quasi-reform the Wyatt family without Bray Wyatt. And Daniel Bryan's going to take over. Like, it's Daniel Bryan's grand plan to steal Bray Wyatt's family.
I originally thought this whole feud was built to for Roman versus Daniel, but they threw the twist and it's been Eric and Roman as the feud. It just feels weird.
I think they're going to get to Roman and Daniel eventually, but they're putting Eric Rowan in front of Daniel first, just so that way you can get a little bit more legs out of it, because you don't, especially with the hard cut on the rosters coming very, very soon, you don't want to go through everybody for Roman super quick. So we're going to see lengthened out stories here a little bit.
Which is smart. Which is really smart. So it boils down to who's going to win. So who you got?
Honestly, I feel like it has to be Eric and Luke to continue it. Because I feel like if they lose, they're kind of dead in the water, aren't they?
You know, it depends how they lose.
I mean, I guess you could lose by DQ, but I really don't know. I'm just going to say Eric and Luke because I don't know. That's who I want to win. So I'll go with who I want to win.
That's all that matters. My brain kind of wants to lean the same way. It's like, I don't see the point of Roman and Daniel winning. If the story feels like it's going to continue, but I don't know how it continues. Tomorrow will be interesting. And it's going to be interesting for a previous, by the way, going forward. It's like, the go-home is going to be the next day, and we won't have all the answers. It's going to be weirder as we do previews going forward.
They have screwed up our whole schedule.
They have. It's thrown us for
it's very rude.
It really is. I'm gonna go. I'll stick with you. I'll go Harper and Rowan.
All right.
8-ball. Will Harper and Rowan beat Brian and Roman on Sunday? No. With an exclamation point. They're like, nope.
My goodness. It is definitive tonight. All right. Up next, we have the Raw Women's Championship on the line as Becky Lynch takes on Sasha Banks inside Hell in a Cell. It's very interesting that this one is going in the cell. It's really interesting to me that this one's going in a cell, that actually both Raw titles are getting the cell matches this year. They're not doing one SmackDown, one Raw, because I would have thought that they would have put Shane and Kevin in the cell, but they didn't.
They put them on TV. Tomorrow.
They're going to be in a ladder match tomorrow, which we're getting ready to talk about. But, so, you have the women in Hell in a Cell for the title. This, and I mean, it's absolutely deserving to be in there. Becky and Sasha have a long-standing history with each other. They've done a great job building the heat between these two to the point that it's like, yeah, they're just going to go in there and beat the crap out of each other. That's exactly what's going to happen. Like, just week after week, they've just continued to escalate the situation until it's, yeah, this feels right. This feels like this should be in the cell.
For basically a year now, Becky Lynch, on and off, has been a women's champion.
Mm-hmm.
She lost at the Rumble last year, so she had her climb back at WrestleMania. She's been champion since WrestleMania. It feels like, with everything going on, that we're getting to the point where Becky needs to drop the belt on Monday Night Raw. And the perfect way to do it is by having a classic Hell in a Cell battle with Sasha Banks. Because it's a way to, you can put it all on the table, you can go to the balls to the wall, you can push each other to the limit, and in the end, Sasha could somehow escape with the belt. It would make the perfect sense. It feels like it's time for Becky to lose the belt. Because it's, like I said, for a year, she's been on top of the division. And this is to say, as we pointed out last month, when we did all the scenarios, she will be back on top probably in the SmackDown division very, very soon with the belt. She's going to be the man no matter what she does. And the man brings it up in the chat, it's like, it would ruin Sasha's heel turn if she doesn't walk out with the belt.
Yeah, and the story that they kind of told was at the last pay-per-view at SummerSlam.
Clash of Champions.
At Clash of Champions, that Sasha had Becky beat. Sasha had her, right? We all saw it, and the way that Becky got out of it was she shoved the ref, and she won by DQ. And that's how Becky got away with keeping her title that time. Now we're going into a situation where there is no escape, there is no DQ. These two have to fight it out. And Sasha has typically always had Becky's number in the past whenever they fought each other, which granted isn't a lot, but the the few times that they have gone, I think Sasha has typically won clean. So that's what makes this really, really interesting, because at the same time, this is also going to be very telling for the draft that's coming next week. Who's going where?
If Becky retains, you know where she's staying. If she loses, you know where she's going. Kind of makes it, you know, the point.
I mean, I'm kind of with LeMans. If Sasha loses clean, it kills Sasha's, it kills her whole thing. And she's worked so hard to get back here. I feel like it's time. I know we always say that. But for Becky, Becky has been on top. She's held that title for a long time. But here's the flip side to that. The video game. The video game. Comes out on the 23rd.
22nd. Oh, yeah.
22nd. Becky is one of the cover people for the game. But what's interesting is Roman is also on the cover and he is not a champion.
Neither,
so,
and neither one is featured with a championship.
Nope. So that doesn't play a factor.
Also, AJ was champion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When he was on the cover?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It could go either way. Like, it really could go either way. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like it's time. I feel like it's going on Sasha because it almost has to go on Sasha. Like, Becky, if she stays on Raw, she could always get it back. But she's been the face of the company for a year now.
And she'll continue to be the face of the company, whether with title or not the title.
I mean, at this point, she almost doesn't need the title to do what she does. Mm-hmm. The title is a wonderful accessory for her to have, and it's a great showpiece for her. But at the end of the day, the character is what it is. It's over as hell, and she is transcending, I can speak, sports entertainment into now regular entertainment. She's getting to that point where she's now kind of crossing over a little bit. So she doesn't really, when you hit that point, the title does not matter as much. Because now she's on the cover of video games, she's in the ESPN commercial, she's doing Steve Austin's show, she's here, she's there, she's everywhere. Now, at some point, she'll need to get it back, but right now, I don't think she needs it, so I'm going to go with Sasha. I'm going to say Sasha wins.
I'm going to go Sasha. 8-ball, does Sasha win on Sunday? Don't count on it. It's 8-ball sticking with the man. All right, what's next?
All right, now I get to talk about what I want to talk about the most. Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt for the Universal Championship in Hell in a Cell. And it is not Funhouse Bray, because batshit crazy Bray Wyatt does not look good on a little nameplate on the news. It is the Fiend Bray Wyatt in Hell in a Cell, which this has not had the same level of like heat and build or time that Becky and Sasha has had, but it's every bit deserving of being in Hell in a Cell. It's going to be really interesting to see how this goes. And I'm just going to say this now. If Bray walks out with Seth's head pulled over a lantern, I'm calling mole. I'm calling a mole. Because I said something to Rock about it off stream. So there you go. The match.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this match. So you have Funhouse Bray Wyatt out there promoting it in TV world. He's doing the weather. He's having a good time. He just wishes we could all get along. And meanwhile, the Fiend is preparing to slaughter Seth Rollins. They've played this to a T. They've done a great job with it, except for maybe Monday. Monday was a little weird, but they've done a wonderful job building the Fiend and Seth to this point.
They have. And they've made Bray Wyatt the Fiend look unstoppable, which causes some concern where the babyface needs to get his heat back a little bit. Because Seth has had no advantage over the Fiend, which is the right move. He shouldn't. To come into this matchup, you have to wonder how much offense they're going to give Seth Rollins, how long is it going to be, how much of a brutal beating the Fiend's going to put on Seth Rollins. You don't want them out there for 30 minutes, because 30 minutes ruins the Fiend, because the Fiend is supposed to be an unstoppable monster. It's also Hell in a Cell, and it's one of three matches on the show, so it has to have some time to it, and what a catch. So at the same point, you're torn. Is it a back-and-forth 20-minute match, or is it a beating for 10 minutes with Bray Wyatt walking out as champion? It's hard to tell, because it's in a weird situation, because it's a title match. It's the Fiend in the title match. The Fiend is supposed to be special. We saw what happened with Finn. He came in, he made the destruction, and he was out. Finn got a little bit of offense, but that's about it. So it's weird. Like, this could be the fastest Hell in a Cell match that we have ever seen on pay-per-view. It really could. Just because they have to keep the Fiend special. But at the same time, you can't hurt Seth Rollins completely. They're in a weird predicament.
Everything is pointing to the fact that Bray Wyatt is slated to win the championship here. I mean, they've basically fast-tracked him to this title since coming back from his hiatus a few months ago. So they've gotten him to this point. They built him to this point. And like you said, the Fiend is an unstoppable force. My concern is the mask, right? Like, this is Hell in a Cell. Is the mask going to hold up in Hell in a Cell?
That will be fine.
Are we sure?
Yeah, it'll be fine. Look at Kane. Kane's been fine in it.
Right, but Kane's mask isn't made out of the same thing.
It's fine. The mask is made to wrestle in. It's fine.
Okay, let's hope so.
The mask will be fine. He'll be able to go for as long as he needs. But time is a factor because the longer the Fiend's out there, the less special he becomes in terms of offense. You know what I mean?
But you can't have a 5-minute Hell in a Cell. It's not worth it. That's not your money worth. I think they could go 10, 15 minutes in it and it would be okay. They can't go 30 in it, but I think you could get away with like 10 to 15. And you would be okay. Because you need to have Seth get a little offense in.
But
you
not,
do need that.
But not too much.
But not too much. Kind of almost what Finn got, which is, you know,
he got a minute.
Yeah, where it's like the Fiend sort of has that existential crisis. And Funhouse Bray takes back over for a second and he does the whole hurt heel thing, like what he was doing with Finn, and then that's when Seth takes his opportunity and he goes for it. Because we shouldn't discount Seth. Like, let's not forget, Seth beat Brock Lesnar. So, at least in this context. So it's like, Seth's not a pushover. And he can take it about as good as he can give it. So that bodes well for Seth.
Yeah, LeMond, it has to sort of be like Cena Lesnar from that SummerSlam where Cena went to Suplex City. But the problem is Bray's offense isn't like Brock, where he could just toss somebody around, which is sort of the thing. So unless they go to a wicked place, and okay, here's how this could work, and this could sort of play out interesting, is if the match doesn't start in the cell. Start out and then go in. Seth Rollins gets put through a table. Let's say Seth Rollins gets put through a table, right? Early in the match, right? The announce table at ringside. He has to fight and struggle, gather himself back in, and then he's like, he does the Superman, I'm gonna fight, and then just gets murdered in the cell, then that's fine, and that's how you do it. You could do a Taker Foley setup like that. If you want Seth to get some offense, it has to be like he has to counter the Fiend, but the Fiend strikes right back. It's tough.
The other thing that's going to play a factor in this is the Fiend getting weapons. And how violent is this going to get with the Fiend getting a hold of weapons, really for the first time that we will see. Like with Finn Balor, it was a straight up match and they could just fight each other. This, I feel like the Fiend has chairs, he has kendo sticks, he has ladders, he has a steel cage, or he has Hell in a Cell itself. You know, he has a multitude of weapons at his disposal, and how bad is this going to get for Seth? And that could be another thing that just makes this super short and super quick, is the Fiend just gets a hold of something and just obliterates Seth with it. Just absolutely beats the crap out of him with him to the point that Seth can't get up.
And then this... go ahead.
Because that's the whole point, really, is the Fiend needs to just beat Seth into submission if he wins.
And Seth may have to take one for the team. And that just has to be. It's like, at some point, to get something over, like Cena did, he took one for the team against Brock. Like Randy took one for the team against Brock. Seth may have to take one for the Fiend to really cement the Fiend as a terrorizing monster and a threat in the company. Because he sold it well the first few weeks, verbally and through facial reactions. But in the ring, he's going to have to pretty much take it on the chin to complete this full-on Wyatt transformation.
Here's the thing. This is kind of the make it or break it for this character right here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is it. This is the moment that we're all going to find out how behind and how legit this really is. And if the Fiend loses,
then he's been Rybacked.
Yeah, he's dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Then it doesn't matter what they do, unless Seth Rollins gets really, really lucky and somehow, some way, a miracle occurs and he beats the Fiend for some really bizarre reason. But if you have Seth beat down the Fiend and beat him, it's over. Nobody's going to take it seriously and nobody's going to believe in it. And it's going to be WrestleMania 30 all over again between Bray Wyatt and John Cena, where once again, Bray Wyatt cannot get the job done. Because that's been the history of the character in these situations, typically, where they build him and they build him and they build him and they build him up as this monster and they do this really fantastic build and they get him to that moment and then he loses. And it's like, once again, Bray Wyatt cannot get the job done. The only time he's done it is once in Elimination Chamber. That's it. His entire track record speaks for itself in big match situations. So they need to change that where it's like he can now get things done. He can get what he wants, including the title. So you almost have to have Bray win here. Come hell or high water. Because it's like they've been working it out on the house shows between Bray and Seth, where Bray loses, but he loses because he holds the mandible claw on too long. You don't have that here.
No.
Because it's no DQ. So it's almost either somebody comes out and saves Seth from the Fiend, and that could be Braun. Braun could play a factor in this, we don't know. Or the Fiend beats Seth.
It's clear the Fiend needs to beat Seth Rollins. It needs to be a dominating performance. It needs to strike fear in the hearts of millions. And you've seen the promotion for the Fiend. It's all over. Everything they've been promoting for Fox, it's been all over the stuff they've been promoting for the video game. It's been all over the stuff they've been promoting for Monday Night Raw. The Fiend is the character they're pushing the hardest right now.
The Fiend is someone that Fox and USA are fighting over, essentially, because Fox wants the Fiend and USA doesn't want to give him up. So there's a... that alone speaks for itself. And like you said, he's on the video game, he's on the commercials, he's everywhere, he's on the poster, he's on the website, they're using him in advertising, you know, the nine yards. He's getting the full weight of the WWE marketing machine behind him. If he loses, none of that matters.
Nope.
None of it. And it's like, it doesn't matter what you do after that to try and build him up. It's, this is it. This is the moment. Like, he can lose after this, and that's completely fine, but he needs to win here. You need to keep him dominant until you get that one person, whomever it is, whether it's somebody down in NXT that they decide to move around later, if it's Aleister Black, if it's, you know, whoever. Whoever's there that can beat the Fiend, whoever has that number, you just keep him sitting there until you're ready for him. But in the meantime, he needs to be dominant and he needs to win. And if he loses, it should be by something like he holds the mandible claw on too long, or he does, or it's a technicality. He does not get pinned. Period. End of discussion. Does not get pinned. Not for a while.
So with that being said, who you got?
I have to go with Bray.
I'm going to go with the Fiend Bray Wyatt. 8-Ball, will the Fiend Bray Wyatt finally become the WWE Universal Champion on Sunday night?
8-Ball, you whore. Utter whore.
This is very doubtful.
Also, LeMans, it's going to be interesting to see where the show goes. The Lana Bobby stuff, we talked about it on Monday. It is what it is. They went for it. And the thing is like, once you're on live national television, there's not a thing they can do to stop you except to cut away, which is what they were doing a lot, if you noticed. There was a lot of cutting away going on there. So, yeah. We'll see where it goes, but it's going to make things interesting.
So that's your three matches. It's facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradio network. Hopefully we'll have a full card available tomorrow or Saturday or something, and we'll post our picks on the Twitters at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, so you guys know how we're leaning come Sunday night.
So, the SmackDown Throwdown?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes!
It lives, guys! It lives!
For one more week.
We're doing the SmackDown Throwdown where we are previewing the debut on Fox, and we have two matches that we can talk about.
There's no point in talking about Bayley and Sasha versus Charlotte and Becky. You know it's going to be good, and the outcome really doesn't matter. The outcome of Roman and Eric Rowan really doesn't matter because the match is Sunday. These two matches have huge stipulations attached to them. Let's talk about the first one.
First one is Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon in a ladder match where it's career versus career. If Kevin Owens wins, Shane McMahon is gone. If Shane McMahon wins, Kevin Owens is gone. It's kind of that simple. And well, I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't want to see Shane go, but I'm feeling Shane McMahon's gone.
I think for the time being, Shane has sort of run his course, and he's been a great thing to see on SmackDown and to have him back, and I hope he doesn't go too far. But at this point, he's sort of superfluous to what they're doing. They don't have anybody running Raw.
They don't have anyone running Raw. Shane McMahon's sort of running SmackDown, but not really running SmackDown. It's been whoever the being is, which we need to talk about in a minute. So it's like, it feels like this is Shane McMahon's time. And let's all congratulate Shane McMahon. Whether you like him or not, this past year, he has delivered on everything he's had to do. For the last 12 months, he's wrestled more than he should have.
I know he's been on almost every pay-per-view.
He's the best in the world. He wrestled at Crown, the Saudi show. He won the Best in the World trophy. He became tag team champions with The Miz. He fought, faced the Usos on pay-per-view. He faced The Miz on two pay-per-views. He's fought Roman Reigns. Shane McMahon has pulled it all out. We're not covering AEW tonight. We may do it Saturday. I'm not 100% sure. We'll see.
Tune in to CB Radio because Rock, Brent, and Sub may do a thing. I didn't get to see the whole show because I was extremely tired last night.
Yeah,
so
me and Jobs and Brent have seen it, so we may. I don't know. I haven't decided.
They'll figure it out. Tune in to CB Radio. He'll tell you.
Saturday night midnight. If you get me started, we may do it. Just mention it. I can go on around. Anyway, train of thought. Where was what? Oh, yeah. So Shane McMahon's done a hell of a lot for them. He's wrestled a bunch. So more than he should have, but he stepped up when they didn't have enough talent to fill that role. That being said, it comes to an end on SmackDown tomorrow night. Shane McMahon will take one big final bump and probably rest up, and we'll see him do other things for the company. Maybe he'll come back in a year. Who knows? We never thought we'd see him again. He's lasted a lot longer than I think we all thought he would be around. Kevin Owens is the star. Kevin Owens needs a big win because he's got to move on to bigger things going forward.
I hope they do. I mean, there's been a rumor that Kevin Owens was maybe going to NXT, but with Finn Balor going, I don't know if that's the case.
I don't think he's going to go, so he's sticking on SmackDown.
Which, that's fine. That's okay. But yeah, I mean, props. All the props in the world to Shane McMahon. All the props in the world to Shane for doing what he's done. Because, I mean, here's the thing. When Shane came back, nobody thought Shane was going to come back. When he left way back in the day, he was done. Like, he was out. He's like, that's it. I'm never coming back. And I think we pined for years for Shane. And he finally made his triumphant return. And dude has busted his butt. I mean, absolutely busted his butt for the company. And I can't fault him at all. He hasn't been the best at times. But you know what? He's trying. And he's out there working just as hard. So I can't knock him at all. So thank you so much, Shane, for everything you've done there. But I feel like Shane's sort of run his course a little bit right now. Give him a rest. Let him take a break. And he can always come back as the evil McMahon. Like, he can always do that. He doesn't have to stay the commissioner. He and Stephanie can always sort of take over the evil boss role that their father had. And they can come and do that anytime they want. They don't have to be a regular character on the show to pull that off. But they sort of backed off of Stephanie quite a bit.
When they did the whole thing back in January, they removed the commissioner role. So it's like they're just their powers that be, but really not authority figures.
He's there because, and he has authority because he's a McMahon, but it's like ultimately he has no real power. So, I mean, at this point, let Kevin Owens get the victory, let him get rid of Shane, and see where the show goes. So, yeah. Up next, we have the WWE Championship on the line as Kofi Kingston takes on Brock Lesnar. And Kofi Kingston, man, he's the cat with nine lives.
I think he's out of lives.
You think he's out of lives? I don't know.
I think he's out of lives. I think the time is up. Time to put the belt back on Brock Lesnar.
We said that about Clash of Champions, anyone.
Well, we didn't think Brock was going to be the one fighting him on Fox. Since he blew the Money in the Bank.
This is true.
Kofi's done. Kofi's had the run. He's not being Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I hate to say that. As much as I love Kofi, and I hate to keep like betting against him because he keeps winning, and that's great for him, and I'm so happy for him, but this is the debut on Fox. They're pulling out all the big guns for a reason. I think, at least for right now, they're going to put the title on Brock because they can. Especially since Brock has committed to doing more dates.
Oh, my God. He almost missed that. He almost missed that. He bobbled that ball. Yeah, Brock's committed. Brock's a long-term for SmackDown. He's the big star. He's the legitimate athlete. He will be your next WWE champion.
He's probably going to get the title. If he doesn't get it tomorrow, he gets it very, very, very soon. By the way, the golf ball or the tennis balls have scored a touchdown with a bobble, as Rock said. So we're now 30-29.
Something like that.
Yeah. So they keep scoring and scoring and scoring.
Keep going.
Can't keep up.
It's 30-29 with 2:28 to go. All right. A couple things I want to address before we go. Next week. Next Friday starts the draft for SmackDown, and the following weekend is for Raw. I know it says celebrities are going to be making the draft picks. It's like, but who's making the decisions? Is it going to be a random power that be is making the decisions? It feels weird. Are they going to pick names out of a hat?
It's Magic 8-Ball. The Magic 8-Ball is making the decisions.
And the 2-point conversion was no good. So it's just weird. It's a very weird situation. So it's like, who's going to be the one drafting for each side? I'm kind of confused by that. And then there's one other thing about this show that needs to be talked about. Because it's been rumored, it's been speculated upon on the internet. People have come out and talked about it, and the person's come out and actually made some references to it. We're going to see a lot of surprises on SmackDown. We're going to probably see...
Taker.
We're going to have Hogan and Goldberg and Sting and Austin and The Rock.
I mean, Rock's great,
Maybe John Cena.
Taker.
Who knows? But, so, many a moon ago, when the movie Fighting With My Family, is that what the movie's called?
Yeah, the one with Paige.
The one with Paige. When the Paige movie was being filmed by The Rock, he was in the that was the last time he was in the Staples Center. With WWE. He never appeared on WWE television, but he appeared in front of a live crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he thanked the crowd and all. He did a shtick in front of the LA crowd. And the one thing he did that got the wrestling world a buzz, as it were, made people talk, was he picked up his cellular device, his mobile device, and he made a phone call to somebody. Do you remember who that phone call was to?
It was to Taker.
No, it was not to Taker.
Austin?
It was to CM Punk.
I swear to God. I swear to God. I know exactly where you're going with this. I swear to God if he shows up.
So CM Punk, during his media rounds, promoting a movie, and by the way, he will probably be joining the Fox team for WWE's Fox team.
Why?
Because he's working for Fox, not WWE. He's working for Fox.
Why?
He's working for Fox.
No.
He, during his media round, said, "Hey, Rock, I hear you. If you're there, you're going to be there. You can call me." He'll answer this time. Last time he was walking his dogs with no cell reception. He said, "Wouldn't it be funny if The Rock called me and I was backstage?" You never know.
I don't think so. It'll probably happen, but
I don't expect CM Punk on the show tomorrow.
I think every fanboy ever would just like automatically at once in unison, everybody would just squirt right there. But I just don't think it's going to happen.
But he will be working with Fox. It's pretty much, he's going to be working with Renee Young on Fox because it's a Fox show.
get that, but no. Just no. Don't. No. Sorry, I know a lot of people love CM Punk. It just the whole him walking out thing, and I understand he had his reasons, sort of, like, left me a little bitter. I'm not gonna lie. And so, because of that, I'm not crazy about the idea of him coming back. But if he wants to, that's fine. But for me, it's like, that doesn't do anything. If anything, it makes me not want to watch the show, which is very upsetting, because I want to support Renee Young as much as possible.
Oh! That bounced. But, we'll see what happens. SmackDown Live. Friday night SmackDown is the new name. Tomorrow night.
There you go. Sorry, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight-ish. CB Radio. CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. The CB Radio poem will be presented. Plus expert NFL picks, the Greater Great Debate on Poets, and maybe we'll talk AEW if we're in the mood. Saturday night, midnight-ish. WTS, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, hosted by the one, the only, the birthday boy, Tim Stein, who turned 87 today. No, kidding.
Wow, he looks so good for 87.
But it is his birthday, so happy birthday to Tim. They'll be on the air following the three matches on Hell in a Cell. So, 8 o'clock Eastern. They'll be live after the show to talk about it. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. There are no Fortnite with Friends tonight because there's nothing to do. There's legit nothing to do.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing Fortnite with Friends tonight because we have no challenges or anything like that to do.
But we'll do it Saturday.
We're doing it Saturday for sure, but yes, there is no Fortnite with Friends tonight, but we will be doing something Saturday. So if you have suggestions, if you want to see us play bingo or llama hunt, or you want to suggest maps or anything like that, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Lens Ward, and you know what? We'll take a look at your suggestions. We'll see what works.
Because there's nothing to do.
Yeah, there's nothing to do. There's just daily challenges. By the way, I want to give a quick shout out to Epic Games. Thank you for coming to your damn senses and dropping the new season on a Sunday. Thank you. I don't have to go to work that day. I very much appreciate that. I was sitting here trying to figure out how I could get it so I could be, like, work at home when the new Fortnite season dropped. And, well, Epic accommodated me. So thank you very much.
Make sure you check out the Rack Extras, 35 years of WrestleMania, now available at RockRadioShow.com. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Hell in a Cell. It's Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. You can use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LANSWRD. So for Rock, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be back next week with another show where we will review Hell in a Cell, and everybody pray there's more than three matches, because otherwise it's more Bray Wyatt all day, all the time. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.